last week we began the end of our series in terms of the kashrut, the issue of trust and kashrut. We know that everything we've been talking about throughout the year, how in the world do we know that the food is kosher? Well, the answer is, based on last week's shiur, it all boils down to what's called Erech and Erech Visurin. In the realm of Isavahat, in the realm of just of Visurin, the Alba, things that are not being Mominus, they're not being Kosher, things that are not really court cases, and then the halacha tells us that in Erech, one witness is believed. Last week we spoke about what the source of this halacha is. Some learn out Mir Smara, some suggest that's enough from the Parsha of Nida, just as a woman is believed to say that she's Tehora, the husband, so too we can trust the person to say that she's after the animals. We spoke a lot about the details of what the source of this halacha is, but in all the dark settles, everybody accepts this basic principle of kashrus called Erech and Visurin. Now, this week's shiur, we have the other half of the story, namely those individuals who then their amonus breaks down. Those individuals, because they're acting in a certain manner, lead us to not necessarily convince that they're not telling the truth, but at least raises a question about whether they're actually telling us the truth in the realm of Isavahat. That begins with the sugya of the amonus muma v'isurin. The word muma really has a lot of different meanings. Muma simply means someone who's just not observing the mitzvah. There are different gradations of what's called not observing the mitzvah. You have a person who's not eating kosher and he wants to be the mashgiach in the store. You can have a person who wears shatnez but he keeps kosher and he wants to be the mashgiach in the store. You can have a person who eats kosher but he's mechal Shabbos or he worships idols. Probably not as common as manazeh as it was in the olden days. We have a lot of different types of people who their mitzvah observances of the question, but what is their status vis-a-vis their monetary spirit? So the sugya begins with the first thing in the Kabbalah, the Masechet Chul, the Adam and Aleph, Kuf Amareva. Yisrael Mumar Ochon Neveiros L'Teyava. His mind introduces us to a very unique type of a Mumar. You have someone who is Jewish, but he has a Mumar, meaning that he's rebelling, he's not doing something in the mitzvah, but the type of his Mumar, the type of his not observing the mitzvah, is what's called L'Teyava. He's Ochon Neveiros L'Teyava. Which means that the reason why he eats not kosher is not because he has any argument against the Kodesh Baruch Hu, not that he doesn't believe in the Torah, and then tastes good, or it's cheaper, or it's Teyava. It means he's honest, he's a straightforward guy. He's telling him, listen, I like the cheeseburgers better over there. They're tastier and they're cheaper. So Rabbi tells us that if you have such a person who's a Yisrael Mum with Ochel and the Devil of Teyava, Bodek Sakin Vinosin Lo, Umutu Lecho Mishchitoso. But this sugya appears in the beginning of Masechet Chul, which is discussing who is believed to shecht an animal. So Rabbi tells us, a chiddush gadol, the Rabbi says that basically such a person is neman. Such a person would be believed to tell you that the meat is kosher. Why is that? Why is he never to tell you himself to the shechit? Assuming he knows what he's doing. We're assuming that what the Gemara calls rove people who start the shecht, we can assume that they probably know what they're doing. A person who doesn't know what they're doing wouldn't start the shecht in the first place. But the Gemara says that we can assume that he's telling us the truth. Why is that? It was about to explain to us, because there's no reason for him to lie. He's not a bad guy. He just has the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah is to eat trace of meat. But it's not that we think that he's per se anti-religious. He just happens to be someone who's not able to control the Yetzirah. The Rebbe tells us that fundamentally he is believed to say that the meat is shechted properly, but we have to be building stock in first there. We have to check the knife before we give it the answer. What does that mean? The Rebbe tells us that before a person shechts an animal, they have to do what's called bedikas hasakin. They have to check the knife to make sure the knife doesn't have a tegima on it, doesn't have any nicks on it, because if it has a tegima on it, that's going to disqualify the shechita. The Gemara derives it from Pesukim HaLacha Moshe. We've seen a whole series of different sources that the halacha, the person shechts with a knife and it's not absolutely perfectly smooth, so you have to do bedikas hasakin beforehand. So this Yisrael Mumar is not going to be trusted to do bedikas hasakin. Normally, if a person is a firm shechit, he does the biggest sakin himself. There's a din that if there's a rav around, he's supposed to show the sakin to the chacham. If there's a tam chacham around, so there's a din with the rabbanon that you have to have the chinkvosh and chacham, you have to show the knife to the chacham. But in terms of the etzim hashchit itself, if the sheikh tells that the knife is kosher, the knife is kosher, the rabbi tells us that this Yisrael Mumar is believed to say shechted, but he's not believed to check the knife. You know, this is my time, what's the difference? It seems to be a contradiction. We have to think about it now. Kevan the ika teira the isura. This person is not a bad guy, it's just that he likes cheeseburgers. When he has an option of shechting an animal, why do you think he's going to mess up? He's going to intentionally mess up? For what reason? He's a person who 95% of the time would eat kosher. It would be the same day, same price. He would eat the kosher food. He doesn't have any problems with the religion. But for such a person, why should he mess up the shechita? What possibly does he have to gain? He could shecht the animal kosher or shecht the pasul. Why should he shecht the pasul? We can trust him that he did a kosher shechita. We ask the Gemara, Yehachi, if so, Kiva Bada Knami. And why don't we trust him for the Vedita Tasachin as well? The Gemara says, no, Mitzvah Lotarach. Because Vedita Tasachin is a big hassle. It takes a long time. If anyone's ever washed the Shechit and washed the Vedita Tasachin, a few times that I've washed the Vedita Tasachin, I start to shake because I think the Shechit is going to cut his finger. He goes along, very, very careful, very runs along the knife, with his fingers up and down, all that takes a long time to check the knife properly. So if you're dealing with a strong person, you have no reason to believe that he's ever done any of it, he's in the realm of kashrut, then we trust him, and we assume we trust him, he's going to check the knife properly, even though it takes a long time to do it. Because a guy who you saw move on her, but that shows that he has the Yetzer. That shows that when things are not so great for him, he doesn't take the religion as seriously as he should. But just as we see him every once in a while succumbing to his Yetzer and eating cheeseburger, we have to assume that maybe he'll succumb, to be chushish at least, he's going to succumb to his Yetzer and save a few minutes. If he doesn't want to wait 20 minutes checking the knife, to say that he's going to shech puzzle, wash the shech puzzle, he has nothing to gain by shechting the puzzle. But by not checking the knife properly, he has a lot to gain. He has 20 minutes to gain. He wants to go wash the knife. He doesn't want to be bothered with checking the knife. So since he's a Yeshua Mumo, people say, oh, but we have to be concerned with him. So basically, Rava, in these two lines, although he's talking about a scenario that doesn't really speak to most of us, but Rava is really giving us the basic fundamental principles in terms of Yamanas, the people who are already a little bit off the derech in terms of their mitzvah observance. The Rav is telling us that if a person is only a mumah l'tayavon, no worse than that, well then, if he has nothing to gain, we assume he's probably telling us the truth. If he has something to gain, then we have to be concerned lest he's telling us something that's not true. So that's the basic two rules of Rav. Yes, either one. I think it all ends up in the same place, namely that he has certain religious principles that he compromises on when they interfere with his personal gratification. So some people get personal gratification out of eating a cheeseburger. Some people get out of saving a few dollars on the kosher meat. Some people out of saving 20 minutes to watch the ball game. So it's all the same type of... it shows that he's not as loyal to his quote-unquote religious principles as he should be. That's pretty much what they have in all means. So comes the Gemara in the second of Marukamot and now tries to extrapolate from this principle that if you have someone who is a mumah of it with the Yavon, so that he's basically believes to say that he shechted properly. It comes to Gemara in the second of the Marukamot, the Chul Nal of the days, Kufa Amra Banana Meshmuel, Yisrael Mumah Le'avodes Kechadim, Mutalach Meshchitasam. If you have Yisrael Mumah who worships idols. And once again, he's not worshiping idols because he has anything per se against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. He's an Oved Avodah Zarah, pretty much the Te'avon also. And that may seem very bizarre to us, because we live in a world post the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah. The Gemara says, in the beginning of Bayashemi, so the Achi Gesek Zohar was offered to the Jerusalem, the Jerusalem should finally remove the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah from the world. What does it mean? There are still people who worship idols today. So the Mefarshim explained that in pre-that time history, so the worship of idols was like a taiva. It was like a Yetzirah. And so the Gemara puts it in the same breath as like a Yetzirah for giving a riot. People had mamashed this desire, this physical, they got some kind of a gratification out of idol worship. Again, it's hard for us to associate ourselves with that. Baruch Hashem, because we live in a world post the tefillah of the Ashik Nesek Gedol. The Gemara says in the Sefer Sanhedrin that when the Ashik Nesek Gedol saw that the tefillah worked, that people stopped having that tremendous taiva anymore for a desire. You still have a few yechidim who were still a desire, but that tremendous driving force of taiva no longer existed. But the Ashik Nesek Gedol decided we already worked. So let's try for the second one also. We'll dive into the Marshal to remove the Yetzer of Gilead Arias also. So they dive into that, and the Gemara says a couple of days of work, and then they realize that it was a very, very bad thing because nobody wanted to be together with their wives. So that quote unquote Yetzer is a good thing. It's a good thing when it's channeled in the right direction. The Yetzer of a Gedol is just terrible. Get rid of it. It's not worth it. If it's a holy quote, unquote, for Gilead Arias, if it's done properly, it's necessary for the world to continue. But that's going to go back down from that season. So where the Gilead Arias Yetzer is still here, the other one is Baruch Hashem is back. So if a person lives in a time, a person has that practice of the Yetzer to do Avodah Zarah, not because he has anything, he's not angry against the Kadosh Baruch Hu, he just has this Yetzer, but he's like a Yeshua Mumah. So Rav Anan says the name of Shmuel, but such a person is like the guy who's a Mumah, Lechon Averus. But he eats trade for meat, So such a person, you can also eat for the shechita. So even though Rav Hanan says this in the name of Shmuel, the Gemara ultimately rejects this. The Gemara says there's a very, very big difference between the person who is a mumar, just in the, so to speak, minor area of halacha as kashrut, in contrast with a person who is a mumar in a much more serious area of Avodah Zarah. So in the third of the Mamre Kamos, after spending a daf trying to defend Rav Hanan, finally the Gemara rejects him. And the Gemara quotes a braisa that lumps together a whole series of different kinds of mumar. The Gemara says that Allah of Hachi Kamen, the third of the Mamre Kamos, in Chul Lehman Aleph, chutz min ha-mumar l'natzach et ha-yayin u'l'chal shabas v'tifahetya, ala mumar l'vanetzichah v'mav mumar l'chotet kula, The original context of that statement was not really about trust or worthiness in terms of kashrus, rather it's in terms of karbonos. The halacha is that a person can bring a karbon to the Ribono Shel Olam unless the person is totally completely off the derech. If the guy is a complete and total mumar, what we call a mumar l'chol tera kula, he doesn't deserve any of the mitzvahs, and then he has no right to bring a karbon to the Ribono Shel Olam. The person is a rasha, he's going to come steering into the Beis HaMikdash bringing karbonos, that's not right. Let him be chayyim to tshuva first. We encourage him to the tshuva, and then we'll accept his kavanah. But in the state of being a rasha, the guy is an ovin, of the Torah, and he wants to be a korban, that's not going to be accepted. So the Mark of the Bryce, as I said, that whenever you have a guy who does some of it here and there, that's some of it, we don't do a veirus here and there. A regular person can still be a korban. Whenever you have a person who doesn't just do it a veirus here and there, he does pretty big ones here and there. It means he worships idols, he pours wine to idols. He's Mechal Shabbos publicly. Those are pretty big things. There he is. The Gemara quotes the Bryce that it says that such a person has the status like a Mumma Mechal Tarakula. Once a person is worshipping idols, once a person is Mechal Shabbos publicly, so then we have to assume the worst, that he probably is not careful about any of the mitzvahs. We can't trust him anymore. We have to assume that he's a Mumma Mechal Tarakula, and therefore such a person cannot bring a carpet. The Gemara says, you see from that Bryce, that is a Tanoim, that Anan Shmuel Ramarayim. They see from the Tanoim that the Tanoim held, but once a person is a mumma for these two biggies, namely Avodah Zarah or Chushav Sefahetya, so once a person reaches that point, then he's mumma l'chol terakula, and he cannot bring karbonis. So the Gemara says, just as the mumma l'chol terakula, he cannot bring karbonis, you can no longer trust this guy. He's going to tell you that he's shechtis. You know, it's bad enough for a guy who wants to eat a cheeseburger, right? And then, you know, he has nothing to lose, nothing to gain, so he can be trusted. The guy is violent all 613 mitzvahs, or Avodah Zarah and Shabbos is tantamount to assuming that he violates all the mitzvot. Such a person cannot be trusted at all. So that rejects Rav Hanan's statement. The Gemara says, you're right, Rav Hanan is rejected. The Gemara comes up with the ultimate rejection. Tiyufta, Rav Hanan, Tiyufta. Once the Gemara uses that word, Tiyufta, then it's over. So there's nothing to discuss anymore. Rav Hanan has been rejected. And we now hold this distinction that other areas of halacha, a person violates here and there in Avera, it's only the Tayyav until we still trust him fundamentally. But if a person violates Chol Shabbos and Hesio, he violates Avodah Zarah, then it's over. Why are these two Avodah singled out? Well, Avodah Zarah, we understand. Avodah Zarah, if you're detracting from Avodah Hashem, or worshiping another God, how in the world can we trust you in anything? We have to assume, the guy's in Avodah Zarah, you have to assume that he's going to violate all of these two. In my head, that Shabbos, why is Shabbos so severe that Shabbos reaches that level of if a person is Chol Shabbos and Hesio, he's a Mumu L'chol HaTarakuda. Rashi, on the spot, explains that the fourth of the Ma'amar comes, Rashi and Chulun Dav Chayim and Aleph, Allah Vecham, Kabim Kabbalah Sipeshi Yisrael, we can't accept Kabbalah from people who are Rishayim, the Mumul Adavar Echad, Chutzmin Amumul Anascha Sayyayim Chal Shabbos, so these two exceptions, the Hani Chamir, these two Averis are so strict, I'm a Mumul Adavar Eskichav and Kimumul Chotar Kul Adavar, anyone who worships idols, we have to treat them like a Mumul Chotar. Hai Tana, the author of this Braisa, this Tana assumes that Chol Shabbos is considered to be like the equivalent of Avodah Zarah. Why is that? The act of Avodah Zarah, of idol worship, is an act of kfira against the Kaddish Baruch Hu. What Rashi seems to be saying is that the fact that Avodah Zarah is a chi of skila, that's not what makes you a mumu chal teraku. There are a lot of Yisrael skila out there. But there's something more than in Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah is not just an adair of a maisa. Avodah Zarah is an aveir of a shkofet, an aveir of a mindset. It means the person is kaif of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He's denying the uniqueness, he's denying the oneness of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, which is basically means he's denying our understanding of what a Kadosh Baruch Hu is. And now Rashi goes on and says that since it's not the mindset aveir of Avodah Zarah that's so strict, a lot of aveirs are also skila. It's the machshava behind it. Rashi continues on Mechal Shabbos, kaif of the mindset. A person who's Mechal Shabbos is also denying a Kadosh Baruch Hu in a little bit of a different way. He's denying HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Borei Olam. That's basically what we say. The Torah presents us that Bari Ha'Ola means he created Shesh Me'amah, and he was Shabbos Be'am HaShvi'i. The guy says, I'm not doing that. I'm getting to my car on Shabbos. Well, the fact that I'm driving on Shabbos, it's not just I'm violating Yisra Skila. There are a lot of Yisra Skila out there. And Yisra Skila doesn't make you a Mumukha Terekula. But it's the fact that you're basically being made that a Kodesh Baruch Hu is not the version of a Wazim Shabbos Be'am Shabbos. That's the problem. That's what the Rashi continues. And Mechal Shabbos Kodesh Be'am who made Sheker, who will shove it to Kodesh Baruch Hu my separation. Rashi emphasizes that word may is the Sheker. But we know that the opposite is true. In a positive sense, if we observe Shabbos, we have may that Kodesh Baruch Hu is the Baruch Hu my Baruch. That's in fact exactly what we accomplish when we say Be'echulu. That's exactly what you're supposed to do when you say Be'echulu. You're being made. That's what many have the custom. The standing for Be'echulu. Different than Huggins about sitting and standing for Kiddush. So even those people who sit for Kiddush, many people stand for Vayichulu. The reason being, because it's the type of Agadat Edus. That's the source of the mimic that the Mishnah Berurah quotes. But the saying of Vayichulu after Shemitah Esrei on Friday night, the Mishnah Berurah says that that's like a Agadat Edus, and therefore, Fishnai Meidim Yachum Dover, they should have, you should stand together with somebody else. Maybe you're stopping quickly and you finish before the season finishes, but when the whole season says it, they're saying it 100 days and you're saying it together. But if you're lagging behind and you don't get to Vayichulu for everyone saying Aleinu, and the Mishnah Berurah says you try to find another guy who's fallen behind and get him to say together, you have to Fishnai Meidim Yachum Dover. That's Mishnah Berurah's custom that he puts. In the real Lomdisha, Chazish said it's wrong. Chazish said it's the opposite. Right. Yeah. We'll get to that in a second. Yeah. In the Lomdisha world, so they stop the Eskash. It's not true that the Tzvamish has been an Eder. There's a difference with Eder. It's been to Echem and Eder because of Apostle. But if three Eder walk the basin together and two of the Eder are related to one another, and then the whole Eidus gets thrown out. When I say Vayichulu, my cousin's there, my brother's there, my son's there, I'm saying it together with other people, and maybe that's the squawk on the whole Eidus. It's the Yeshiva Shikash, it's a lovely Shikash, it's not really no real truth to it. The Chazanish said that he didn't like this custom. This approach that we should really take, we should ask him to write a way to dig up somebody to say Eidus, and we should do it doesn't, the Chazanish didn't like this. He thought that was like a belittling of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you meet two Eidim, a guy walks to the Beis and says, Reuven killed Shimon. The Beis says, maybe he did, maybe he didn't, but I don't know. I gotta go find another Eid, because we don't really know that I'm telling the truth. Is there a way to say something that the Baruch Hu created the world? There are a lot of crazy people out there who don't believe it, but there's no real way to say something. Everybody knows. You look around, you see the sun shining. Who else made the sun? Of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. But there's not even a way to say something. But what else are we going to wait for? Like the priest that comes to the Baruch Hu. I have to go find another eight to be made. So the Chazanish said, if you daven Shemoneh Esrei and you're finished and you're ready to show Seh Vayichulu, Seh Vayichulu by yourself. You finish. Forget the Agadat Eidus. You don't need a second Eidus. So I have to stop every week because I would end up davening a little story behind my own show. So they already know not to wait for me. So I always try to time it properly that I get to Vayichulu in Shemoneh Esrei. At the same time, they get into the Vayichulu over there. And that way, Bailiff and Mishnah Berurah, Bailiff and Chazanish, I'm okay. There's a curse in the Mishnah Berurah. I said my Vayichulu, I said with everybody else. And according to the Chazanish, so I didn't do anything out of the ordinary. I'm talking for nothing. What do you want? So the Chazanish is asking what I'm doing. I'm saying, I'm talking for nothing. I'm not Mishnah Berurah. You can only have that luxury in the Rav when you can time things proper. Even I don't always succeed in that. So, but I have a little bit of window of opportunity because the Gemara says in Maseches Machis that if two Eidim are made in Tech Hebrew one another, one Eid says something and then a second later the next Eid says something, that's all considered to be Mechub Yachar, it's considered to be one Eidim. So, if they jump ahead of me, they get to Vayichulu before me, so as long as I can still chapman, I can stop my Vayichulu before the Chazim finishes his Vayichulu, that's also the Mishnah Berurah, that's 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 Mishnah Berurah, sometimes the time works out. Anyway, getting back to this stage. So the Rashi emphasized the reason why Yichil Shabbos is so profoundly wrong is because it's the Haggadah Eidos, it's the Sheker against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's probably the reason why that when we find the Yichil Shabbos, we find the Halach is it's only if it's a Fahesia. It's considered to be the Yichil Shabbos, obviously even Shlom Fahesia. That's the Yichil Shabbos Ketina, as long as it's related to Yichil Shabbos Ketila. But it's only considered to be a choshavs of fahetia that makes the person into a mumah. What is it about fahetia? Why do you need that for fahetia? It could be based on this Rashi that if a person is a choshavs in the privacy of his own home, it's a terrible mindset what he did. But it's not how God is Eidus. How God is Eidus means you have to tell somebody. And if I'm not informing the world about my lack of belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, being the Bnei Eilam, go close my eyes, do it privately. A Maaseh Chil Shabbos, it is. Chiyas Skilin Karis Chatzis, it is. But in terms of the Havedus Eidus, it's not. So since it's the Havedus Eidus Shabbos that creates the status of Mumar, that's why we find that when it comes to Chil Shabbos, it's the Chil Shabbos for Hetia, that's considered to be a Chil Shabbos. It's based on this Rashi that many Acharonim picked up and said, what would it be if the other guy who's not B'chol Shabbos, because acts B'chol Shabbos, come B'lishim Sofei, he's B'chol Shabbos. But we know for a fact he is not a Kreis of Ninth Generation. We have no Shaila that he believes in Shabbos. So it's a work on Shabbos. How do we know he believes in Shabbos? He makes Kiddush Friday night. Like candles, he makes Kiddush Friday night, he has a Kiddush Shabbos, he makes Kiddush and he goes to work the next day. So Nebuchadnezzar can't control himself from being B'chol Shabbos. But in terms of his being a Kreis, it's hard to call him a Kreis of Ninth Generation. But then you see him, Yaakov Etling, that he was the Rebbe of Shum Shofar Hosh, he has a tshuva about this. He writes, what if you have a guy, not just as he eats Friday night tshuva, but daven Shachris, the Shabbos morning. Daven Musa, but Shabbos morning. He's the Valkyrie, Shabbos morning. And then he goes off to work afterwards. So it's a Nebuch, terrible tragedy. But the Yaakov Etling files came that it's very hard to call such a person in the Chal Shabbos to pass here. You know, that was the early Ashkamina. That's the reason why there's Ashkamina in America. In the last couple of generations, so it always became a mark of guy Davos and Ashkenazim, and that shows he's so firm that he wants to be have more time to learn Shabbos this morning, and he wants to Davos really make all his mind. But in the old days, the reason why Ashkenazim really started was the people never used to go to work. They felt bad, they wanted to Davos a little bit, so they were Davos early in the morning, and they got a question out, and they would go to work on Shabbos. So it's a terrible thing, but it's hard to call such a person a Mumus on Shabbos. If the guy in Mamish is not a Kaifer, he gets up 6:30 till Davos Shacharit, on Shabbos morning, they turn around and call him a Kaiser's Master Gracious, because he's really not right, he's not fair. But we're not advocating, we're not justifying what he's doing. On the other hand, we're not going to label him as a Mumul Chol Terekulo, because he's clearly not a Kaiser's Master Gracious. So, Kofan, getting back to our status in terms of the Kashrus, now this sets up for us the following, that if you have an individual who is not just that he's not careful about Kashrus, but he's not careful about Shabbos to such an extent that he's a Chol Shabbos for Hesia, then we have serious, serious reservations about believing on anything. And we have enough trouble believing the person who doesn't keep kosher that well. But the person is Michal Shabbos, and then it's finished. And we have no nemonos. We have to assume the worst. And maybe he's not going to tell us the truth about anything. That's what the Shulchan Aruch in the fifth of the Maamar covers close to this distinction. In the Siddur Kuf Yitzchak and Siddur Zion, Yishu Mefursam Be'echem Ever Shebetayra. The other guy who does a lot of Averas, we know Nebuch, we know he does a lot of Averas. But he doesn't violate the following Averis. So the Shulchan Aruch spells out the following three Averis that he doesn't do. Chutz Averis Kichavim, he's not an Averis of Zohar. Dichil Shabbos, if he doesn't do that, Eira, Oshayinu Ma'amim B'Zivir Rabbi Seinu Gal, he's not a Kofar, he's not what we call an Apikaris. And the Mishnah say at the end of Masechet Sanhedrin, but there are certain Mikori Amun, there are certain things that every observant Jew is required to believe. Mishnah speaks about some of them, people must speak a little bit about some of them. The Ma'amim is based on that Sunji, but they're not put together as old Jews, Gimel Animamim, as to what are the basic, the core beliefs of a Torah Jew. So if you have a person who's ain't a mom, he doesn't believe Tosh Mabeh, he doesn't believe Mitzvah Mashiach, he doesn't believe the basic thing that make up our the Ashkafa of Yahadut, that's a whole new category in Halacha. So here you have a person, the Shulchan Aruch is talking about, who has not yet sunk to that level. He's not an Avodah Zarah, he's not a Mechal Shas Vehetziah, he's not a Koyfer in Divrei Rabbi Seinu, he's not a Rukor of Pekorius. So such a person, but he doesn't have it. From my he doesn't have it right and left. What's the status of such a person? So the din is Neman B'Shari Surah. So he's believed in other areas of this. So let's say you have a person who was very careless in many, many areas of Halacha. He wears shotness, Halacha says Yom Tov, Shabbos is Halacha Yom Tov, I know he shaves with a razor. He does all kind of different areas. And we know he does it all the time, but he's kosher. He keeps kosher. He keeps a strictly kosher home. So technically speaking, such a person would be netman in kashrus. It would apply last week's shiur to such a person. And Echad Mishuah would we hire him as our first choice for a mashgiach in the store? That may be a technical question, whether he's going to be efficient or not. But in terms of does he have pure netman? If a guy comes to you and he says, "Listen, I'm telling you, I broke this food from the kosher store. He's an Echad, he's an Mishuah. Even though I know this guy's mishatnet, when this guy shaves it or raises it." Doesn't matter, but if he keeps kosher, then he would be believed. Neman b'shari sud. U'mishalacherim neman afiru aloso dover lomo b'tuhu. But let's say he's not testifying about his own stuff. He's testifying about something else, which basically means he has nothing to gain from it. So he's coming up to us and saying, oh, by the way, I'm telling you, that food over there is kosher. There's no incentive, there's no career motive, he's not getting paid, he's not getting any money, not making anything over there. So then we assume the guy is, even though he himself is not careful about kashrut, but that's like the case back to the shechita. There's nothing to gain. If a person is not careful about that area of halacha, then we have to be concerned about him in that area of halacha when he has something to gain. But something to gain can mean either a physical gratification, or saving a few dollars, or saving a little bit of time, not to check the knife properly. Whenever there's something to be gained, then you have to always be nervous. What's the person is telling us something that's not true? But if the person says, Mom, there's nothing to gain, then he's right, and we can trust him as well. But this runs into an issue in terms of, does a person have mnemonics in terms of his business? He opens up the store, and he says, believe me that everything in the store is kosher. So you have to go through last week's study. This week's study, is such a person a mnemonic or not? So technically speaking, if a person really, truly is a sumper, we know the guy's a Yerushim, I'm a Shomotan Mitzvot, you never see him do anything wrong, but technically speaking, he doesn't need any Mashkiach. That's what he tells you to meet kosher, tells you everything is kosher, tells you he turned on the fire, that everything is kosher. But the same way he eats his house, he can eat in the store. That's theoretically what the din should be. Practically speaking, it's a very, very poor idea to implement that for pure technical issues, is that it's very, very hard to be on top of things unless there's at least some kind of a form of Mashkiach. A guy could have all the noblest intentions in the world, but anyone who's ever done with kashrus realizes that there's a big difference between noble intentions and retracting what happens in the stores. So it's always a very, very strong idea to have a second pair of eyes, even though we're not questioning your validity. You're an emunah. I would totally leave in your house. But I don't need a mashkiach in your house. I totally trust you. But when you're in a business kind of a setup, so then it's always a good idea to have somebody looking over to make sure things don't, by mistake, happen wrong. But in terms of pure emunah, and the person's from the shemitah, you would be believed. Whether the person is not so Shematar Mitzvah, depends to what extent is he not Shematar Mitzvah. If the guy's B'chol Shabbos, we know the guy drives in Shabbos. We know the guy doesn't keep Shabbos. Whether we want to formally call him B'chol Shabbos, perhaps or not, but he's a Shem, he's amazing, you can cope without that, but it's very hard to believe such a person. The person, he doesn't keep Shabbos, he doesn't keep the basics, so then it's very, very hard for us to give him them honest in Yisurim. And this is an example of something where he has a certain incentive. If he has an incentive, he has a reason to say that the food is kosher, which is good for his business. So we would never, ever dream of trusting a person who himself is not Shematar Mitzvahs to say that the food is kosher in his own store, because that's like the guy, we're not going to trust him to check the knife. The same way we're not going to trust him to check the knife because he has something to gain, so too he has a lot to gain by telling you the food is kosher. It's an awful lot cheaper to buy kosher meat than to buy kosher meat. The guy's running a business. And the guy himself, we know that he goes on his lunch break, he doesn't like his own food. He goes around to McDonald's for lunch. So we know the guy himself is straight. He's going to tell me that the meat is kosher. It doesn't make any sense. But he has no mother to say that the meat is kosher. So let's say he bothers to eat kosher. We know for a fact that he's kosher. But he's not sure of other areas. We know for a fact that this guy does other things that are not appropriate. Okay, but we know that he keeps kosher. So then he's talking to him. We have a rule that a person in that area of halacha that he's not careful about, he loses a certain degree of his naman. With other areas of halacha, he's still a naman. So this status in halacha that we have, that if a person has reached the point where, again, we're not pointing fingers at blame the people, b'zman hazeh, we follow the psak of Chabad Chaim, the Chazanish, both wrote, but b'zman hazeh, 99% of the people who are not sure what their mitzvahs, it's not their fault, they don't really know, they don't really know, they would have been raised differently when we were there. That's all true. We apply the full mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael, no matter what, if the guy's from, not from, should have been from. We're not questioning, we're not pointing fingers, and we're not blaming people, we're not calling them a Rishon today. But on the other hand, we still have to know, is the person trustworthy? Just because we're not angry at him, we don't say that he's a Russia, doesn't mean that we're gonna eat in his house. So we're trying to figure out whether he has a prop in him on us or not. So the Pizcha Tshuva, the last three Mamakobs, is something that we spoke about back a couple of weeks ago. We spoke about Bishalachim. This halacha resurfaces again. We mentioned back in the Bishalachim days that there was a Machlekes and Rishonim, why Chazal prohibited the shalachim in the first place. What's wrong? If the guy cooks the food, if the ingredients are kosher, what's wrong with the food? But most of the Rishonim weren't like Tosfos, but the problem is not really kashrus per se. The problem is chasmus. We're afraid that we're going to get too socially close to the non-Jews unless this leads to intermarriage. But Rashi, in one place in the Sefer HaZohar, gives a totally different reason. Rashi writes in one place that the reason for the shalachim is that we're afraid that the guy may have thrown in some trefa food. Shemi Yavena Dabatami. Maybe when you want to look, you threw a piece of chazer into the food. So the Pesach Tshuva writes that is there enough kanina, is there a practical difference between the two reasons? or the Bishalachim is prohibited for Chachnos, or it's prohibited because of Tracers, or the Piskachuda writes the rest of the Mamakom, so you still could be given your day. I am the Heter Shalom, my Ritz Tal Shin Hesav, Nidra Gzerai Tushim Chachnos. The real reason for Bishalachim was because of Chachnos. The I am the Sabbath of Israel, the Moshe Shekosav, the Lafi Tam Zesh Shari Bishal Shalomumor, the Mishul Chachnos. Like that, let's say the person who's cooking for you is not a goy. He's Jewish. He's 100% Jewish, but he's Yisrael Mumor. He's in the Chal Shabbos Tetzah. He's in the Rebbe Nezah. He knows he's not supposed to worship idols, and he still worship idols. So come to this Chachuv and calls from the Maharit, he can still eat his food. Because what's the fear? You can marry his daughter? You're allowed to marry him. She's Jewish. You're allowed to marry his daughter. If she's not full, maybe not the best shidduch, but if she's full, so not follows another daughter, what's the big deal? So comes the Chachuv and says, that is the whole reason for Bishalach, it's only because of Chachuv, and then it only depends on, are they halakhly Jewish or not? It doesn't depend on how firm they are. But El Shari O Tam of Wurbe Yosef, there's another reason which is based in Rashi, the Shem Yachidana Devar Masurim, we're afraid the God is going to see the Trefer, but we'll see there, now it's not so simple. Gam Bishal Shamumar Asar, Tahad Kikar Bechal Atar Kuvah, the Shem Yachidana Devar Masurim. He says, wait a second, if you have a person, he may be technically halakhly Jewish, he can marry his daughter, but it's the same fear, the same concern, the guy's a mover, so maybe he's going to throw some Chazer into the mix. When he sees that, who has been mover Chal Shal 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 not so simple. Because if you have any person who's a mumul chotar akula, maybe that would be a problem. Of course, quote bishul akum. It's not an akum, but the same fear of akum would apply to him as well. I think that most of the posts don't follow this, because we usually assume that most of the later posts can assume that bishul akum is not a function of how firm the person is. The bishul akum is a function of is the person Jewish or is the person not Jewish. The bishul akum is not really rooted in the kashrus. Everything we've been saying up to now is really captured. Bishalach is a different area of halacha. It's more related to chasdos, which is more of a function of are they halacha, we have kedushas Yisrael, or lack of kedushas Yisrael. The chopah and trust, nemanus, is the cornerstone of all of kashrus. The entire kashrus industry is built on nemanus. And basically, there is a rule of nemanus, ledech, and bisurin. But here we already see that there may be certain scenarios where a person loses certain degrees of that nemanus, depending on how seriously himself takes his own and the children. I'm not sure that next week, but people still around. Yeah, I'm not sure I'm around next week, but okay. We'll keep getting in the loud.
I mean, not
Chazal
don't
really
say that
halakhic
Jewish is halakhic Jewish, but